Oh, we back, baby. The return of the franchise. The internationally known show with an attitude that don't compromise. We've always been controversial because that's what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, T1 the TC coming at you. What's up, and good evening to you. This is Todd Orner from the Toddcast coming at you from the great state of PA, Central PA to be exact. My name is Todd Orndorff. I'll be your party host for this evening. And along with me today is a very special guest. If you have listened to this show for the last 7 years, which we just celebrated year number 7, so thank you very much to the 61 countries around the world who have tuned in to listen to this show. Thank you so very much. And we got a big one today to celebrate 7 years. If you were a fan of WCW from the early to mid-90s, you will recognize this guy as Shanghai Pierce. If you were a fan of the WWF, now WWE, from the mid to late 90s, you will know him as Henry Godwin. And today we know him as Mr. Mark Canterbury. Mark, how are you, my man?
T.O. in the house. What you doing, boy? That's my kind of party. You starting right there.
Well, let me tell you about your party. So listen, I know that you may or may not throughout your career maybe consumed a smidge of whiskey, possibly.
A little Jack Daniels.
A little J.D. Well, let me tell you something. J.D.'s a good guy. He's taken care of me quite a few times as well. And just so happens, directly across from me, Mark, I have about 5 bottles, all different types of whiskeys, but I had a little bit of J.D. left. And in honor of you guys and 7 years on my show and the BSK and such, I may have poured the rest of it into one single solitary glass.
I hear you. Yeah, he was a member of the BSK, JD.
He was probably the founder, actually.
Yeah.
It's not what Yoko said that day. It's not Yoko. It's actually JD that brought you guys together.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things on my show, and actually another reason why I do have this, is to be on this show or to be a guest or whatnot, you have to show your credentials. And as a host of this show, with my name on this show, I always need to have a little credential. So
those are good credentials.
You know, there's none better. I found that out over time. So... So, ladies and gentlemen, this guy that we are talking to right now, Mr. Mark Canterbury, was a professional wrestler. And as I mentioned before, if you have listened to my show, I've talked plenty of times about professional wrestling and how it's personally helped me with building confidence as a stutterer and with jobs and interviews as a stutterer. Mark, the world of professional wrestling, as you know from doing it, it does wonders for other, like, it's not just the entertainment. Like, what you guys do generally can, like, touch people as humans, right?
Yeah.
And the guy who is talking to you right now on this side, like, you guys help all you guys from, I mean, I love the history of wrestling to the point of, like, all the territories, all the guys. If I hear, like, another story of tragedy of like a what if of a Buddy Landell or something, like, it just kills me because that's like that's what I wanted, you know. And yeah. I didn't get to do that. I did train but as someone with a speech problem who and a guy who always wanted to pretend like he would just walk through a curtain every day of his life and forget about the issues that he had, I mean, you guys put that mindset into me just from your jobs and your careers and your sacrifices. And I mean, this is to all of you guys who are on the road helping kids like me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's awesome. That's a good story, man. I'm digging that.
There's a lot to it, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely, you know, positively true.
Going back, when you said the history, you know, just to remind you who gave me my start was My idol was Dusty Rhodes and Cowboy Bill Watts in WCW. That's how we got our start down there.
Absolutely, yeah. And if I recall, because, you know, I do like to do a little bit of homework on some people that I interview. I don't want to look like a jabroni, you know, on here, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But take me back, though. Tell me about George South and the Italian Stallion. How'd you get linked up with those two guys?
I was actually farming, but I was working at a hospital on a psych floor. So I was in, I worked, the hospital was where they were running out of, Princeton, West Virginia.
Okay.
And, I met them one day, and they said they were coming to my county in like a week or so and asked me to come up there and train here in West Virginia. They were running high schools and junior highs.
Right.
Doing anti-drug shows and stuff. So, yeah, that's how I got my start with George and Stal. And then they started taking me to WCW Atlanta, and I started doing TVs. And one night I went, you know, we just drove down there, did our shit, drove back. But this night I got down there, and I'm working Eric Watts
right
on TV. So he had just come from University of Louisville, where he played quarterback, and he came there and started wrestling. And Cowboy and Dusty loved the match we had there at Center Stage in Peachtree there in Atlanta. And they said, "When can you go on the road and work with Eric?" I said, "Yeah, when? You know, I'm just down here for TVs." He goes, "Tonight." I'm like, "Oh hell!" All I had was what I wore down there in my gear. So Arn Anderson and George and Stal are giving me clothes to take. So that was how I got started on the road. And the first night out on the road was Rod Anderson. So that's how that all started.
That's freaking awesome. So to go back real quick, you worked at a hospital in a psych unit?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something, sir. I did not know that about you, but I do the same exact thing.
Yeah, I was a unit clerk and security on the up in Princeton at the hospital.
And actually, you know what? I've never even told my audience I do that for a living because I work at a psych hospital, but I do.
Yeah,
and, I'm not exactly security, but sometimes I feel like I have to be. If you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, it's a tough job.
Yeah, I was a unit clerk, and then you know, of course, I had to do the muscle back then.
Yeah.
Crazy yeah. times, and my problem was I get attached to people.
Yes. You know what though, it takes a certain type of person to do a job like that, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
you got to have a big heart, but there's got to be some sort of separation at some point where it's, you know, it's, unless you've done it, it's hard to describe, but if you have done it, you understand.
Well, 2 years before I got that job, I was working at the same hospital. I was just a MNA. I mean, I did probably hundreds of codes. I worked in the ER, had to do things in the morgue. So I've seen a lot of stuff at the hospital.
Yeah, you did.
I bid on that job and got the psych job. So, and I really enjoyed it. But, man, it'll wear you out sometimes if you let it.
I'll tell you a story off air. How about that?
All right. I'll tell you some too.
There you go. But how ironic that pro wrestlers were found at a psych ward. Like,
yeah. Cause
like you gotta have a couple screws loose to do that job. Don't you? Isn't that what they say?
And I was actually going to go to RN school working at the hospital. And then I got into psych, and then that was it. I enjoyed it though.
Yeah. It can actually be extremely, extremely rewarding. That's for certain. And help
feel
you
like
too.
You're giving back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for certain. So, we all know that Dusty Rhodes, big fan of the Westerns, right? He's talked about it 100 times on there. What exactly is a Shanghai Pierce?
Well, me and Tex are proof of Dusty's love for movies.
Yeah.
He loved the old gunfight at OK Corral. I mean, the old one. And Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce were cattlemen big guys back then. So that's where he come up with the names. And actually, Barry Windham's the one that told me who we were going to be. Because he was sitting in on all that back then. So he knew. And actually, Barry took us under his wing, you know, and really helped us and guided us a lot. So it was nice to have Barry. We'd jump in his Mercedes and, you know, two country boys, or I was a country boy.
Right.
It was crazy. We had a good time with Barry, though. Had wild times.
What a great guy to learn from, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, holy smokes, with Blackjack and everybody, just all the – I love how your guys' era, because I'm sure it doesn't happen as much anymore. How could it, honestly? But the road trips and just learning from keeping your freaking mouth shut, you know? It's – that alone is part of the pro wrestling history that is so fascinating to me. How basically to learn is to keep your mouth shut, keep your ears open, and have, you know, knowledge here in the front seat, knowledge driving, and knowledge here to your left, and everybody just it's almost like you're saving each other and protecting each other and guiding each other for the long haul. You know, it's like, here's what I went through. Here it is on a platter. Take it and learn.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Exactly. And that's what George always taught me. And it's funny because me and Tex were up for Captain's Corner. He does a lot of stuff. And we were in New York for him last month. And, I just got a letter today from Massachusetts that dad had sent me a picture we took with his son.
Oh, cool.
And he says, you know, it is really nice meeting you. And he sent some pictures for me to sign and send back. So, but he said, what do you tell the young kids today, the athletes? I said, train hard, listen, be quiet, listen, and respect others. And things will go good for you, man. I was scared to death when I started in WCW, being around, like, I mean, right here, I'm with Dusty Rhodes, sitting right here talking to him.
Yeah.
But just to shut the hell up and listen, and you will learn more. Trust me, you will learn more than speaking up or anything.
Yeah.
Just listen. Listen for a while. That's all you got to do.
It's not, you know what, just give it your all and respect what it is you're doing and people who've already done it, and I don't know how you can fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, but
a good attitude goes a long ways.
Absolutely. You mentioned about you know, being an athlete and stuff like that. So with your size, you had to be on a gridiron, right?
Oh yeah.
What was your position?
My senior year here in West Virginia, we went to the single A championship. We played at a school up north, northern part of West Virginia called Sistersville. And we played up in Charleston. I went both ways. So I was on the field the majority of the time. I was right tackle. I was all state on offense, right tackle. And I was second team all state on defensive line.
Nice.
So I was going to go to Virginia Tech. I had a scholarship to Tech. I had one to WVU. Ended up not going. Went in the Marines, had a wreck, come out, got on at the hospital, and then after that, and plus farming, and then after that, I got into wrestling, and shit, that was 31 years ago.
The Marines, I didn't know about. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
We do have something in common. So I do know that you were a pitcher.
Yes.
I was a baseball player too. That I had three loves in life growing up, Mark. I wanted to be a professional baseball player. That was number one by far. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. That was number two, very close to number one. And I wanted to be a rock musician. I wanted to be like a Nikki Six from Motley Crue, but I can't sing and or play a guitar that well.
So yeah.
That was totally out the window.
See, I was wanting to be a football player, a wrestler, and a drummer like John Bonham.
It lets up.
Well, heck yeah. Heck yeah. So, were you any good at baseball? Were you? Do you have any real potential?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We won the Arlington County in Virginia. We won the championship the last year I was in the Little League organization at 15. And I pitched that whole game and won most valuable player in Arlington County that year.
Look at you, stud. Holy smokes.
And then I started wrestling in high school. I broke my thumb my freshman year, so I missed half the season. Then I come back my sophomore year, beat the varsity guy out, wrestled varsity my sophomore year. And then my junior, I went to the regionals, was third in the district, and then moved to West Virginia my senior year. And hell, down here, you know, they didn't even know what wrestling was in high school. They didn't have it down here. No tennis, no soccer. It was crazy.
Yeah. So the farming thing was real in your life before the gimmick?
Growing up, my whole life.
Yeah.
Both sets of my grandparents were farmers and contractors.
Yeah.
Of course, back then, you know, hell, they did it all.
Yeah, you had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I come from a contracting family too, so mad respect to them on that. How did the transition get? Well, Dennis Knight, it seems like your careers are like right there with each other with the tag teams, WCW, WWF. How did you guys first meet?
Oh my God.
Did you know each other before you started training?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you the story real quick. We were in Gainesville, Georgia. I was already working for the comp. Well, you know, I was a regular. Tex, I don't think, had been up and done TVs. I had been, you know, I was already working with Eric on the road and stuff. And Dusty and Barry pulled me aside that night at Gainesville at TV and said, yeah, we're going to, you're going to have a dark match, I think, with your new partner tonight. So we met and we went after TV. We went back to the hotel where all the boys hung out. And hell, me and Tex lived there for 6 months till we got our place in Marietta. And then all the boys started moving out. It was crazy. That was a high rise, was a locked facility, you know, it was a gated community. And, a couple of the Braves lived there, so it was a good time. But that's how we met.
After 31 years, and you guys are still really good buddies, right?
Yeah, we just Captain's Corner when we did that thing for him. He said, you all are like the one percenters. He said, there's no other tag team because we still room together. We get one room when we go on these legend shows. We like hanging out and bullshitting and. In 31 years, we've never had a crossword. I can guarantee we would take a bullet for each other because he almost took one for me one night in Atlanta.
Oh, really? Is there a story?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's after 31 years. I mean, you know, especially like in that industry where, you know, there is unfortunately like a lot of backstabbing, politicking, and everything like that, to be, you know, still rock star friends after 31 years. That's really respectable. Hats off to you both.
Yeah. The boys used to tease us all the time about, man, I can't believe y'all spend all that time together and you get along. Well, we lived together in Marietta, you know, we had an apartment there. And, you know, we always stayed together on the road. A lot of times when Road Dogg first started, it was me and Tex and Road Dogg.
Down at WCW?
WWF.
Oh, okay.
We triple heel a room, man. Save that money.
You got to save that coin, don't you?
That's right. We'd get, and then before Tex came up, it was me and Jet, me and Double J and Road. We rode together. Whew, the stories I got with them, but hell, we'd get two queens and a rollaway. We'd take turns.
How about a wine? Yeah, absolutely.
But when you first started, you got to save some money up.
Yes, you do. Hey, look, brother, I'm a single dad. I know about the saving of money. Trust me. You know.
Yeah, I was a single dad, had two boys. Yep.
Yeah. How did the transition work from the end of your WCW run into WWF?
Oh, so much easier. It was much more welcoming up there. It just seemed like everybody was helping each other up there, if that makes a little sense.
Yeah.
Where down in WCW, it was just like, man, the backstabbing and gouging and, you know, and Arn said, you guys need to get out of here. You're too good at getting people over. So the transition up north was 10 times better, and I felt more comfortable, and I felt like I learned more and quicker up there than I did down south.
Right. Yeah. How smart is Arn Anderson?
He's pretty damn smart. He's funny as hell.
That's what I hear. He's such an awesome – he's one of my all-times. He's such an awesome guy.
We were with him at Dallas and took pictures when we were at WrestleMania for Undertaker's thing.
Right.
We got to hang out with Arn, and we seen Jake and Honky Tonk Man. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
a whole bunch of reminiscing of memories.
A lot of reminiscing.
How many of those memories do you think you've forgotten?
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot more.
Some of it might be a good thing,
probably
too.
A good thing.
Yes, that's right.
I could definitely incriminate some people.
Yeah, I'm sure. Actually, since you brought up the WWF, I do have something, because something feels like a little bit out of place right now, and I don't know. This might help, maybe. But,
oh, hell.
Oh, we're not done yet, sir. I haven't busted these out for you.
You look like a young Henry Godwin.
I'm telling you, I haven't busted out the overalls for you, sir.
T.O.
Let me tell you, buddy, it was getting hot in this thing. I'm glad we finally got there.
Hell, me too. I'm real relaxed now.
Heck, it can't be too formal, you know what I mean?
Hell no.
Heck no, man. So you get to the Fed, and it's a lot less politicking, right? Backstage with the boys?
Yeah.
So we know about the Click. There's a whole slew of stories of them. We know about the BSK, which we'll talk about. But those are like the only two groups that you ever hear of from that era. Was there other Clicks in there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we only hear it too, but there's so many guys.
That just tells you that there's a certain group of guys. That's all there was. I mean, they were a special group, and we were a special group. We were a very diverse group. And we love talking about that, because we had the Samoan squad, you know.
Yeah.
We had rednecks, hillbillies, blacks, whites, Asians. We had it all.
You had some for everybody,
and it's just a good brotherhood, man. It's, you know, I told somebody else this in a podcast that, you know, our little group, we helped each other out. That's what we were there for. And, you know, I know Kevin and Sean and Hunter and Razor, Kid, they all did that too, you know. Try to help each other with their gimmicks, but there was never no animosity between us. I mean, we were all good friends. But people like to say, the Click and the BSK hated each, didn't get along, but there's not an ounce of truth to that.
You know why they say that? Because because controversy creates cash. That's why.
Yeah.
That's exactly why they say it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And that's why I have that word tattooed right here. Controversy.
<you know. laughs> I like it. So I got a beautiful 5-year-old daughter, and she has no choice but to grow up and watch professional wrestling, because damn it, I'm her dad, and I'm gonna make her, because that's what I love too, right? And it just so happens that yesterday She was over here at my house, and it just happened to be a specific match on where it just so happens you were in a hog pen slamming someone. And I just want to let you know that my little beautiful five-year-old daughter, Lola Mae, thinks that that was the most disgusting thing she's ever seen. So job well done. You impressed my 5-year-old daughter. I'm trying to get her hooked, man. I'm telling you.
That was an awesome time. And when me and Hunter got done, of course, you know, I scarred him for life. He got 15 stitches in his back.
I saw that.
But when we walked to the back and we were both covered in shit, he was bleeding. We were both bruised and just battered. Vince pulled us to the side and said, "That was a hell of a match. Y'all pulled that off." So to hear that coming from Vince,
oh yeah,
when me and Hunter were both just starting up there, it was just shit like that makes you feel comfortable when the man tells you you did good. And me and Hunter come up with the whole stuff, with everything, the whole match. And, Vince said, "Y'all want to come up with it?" We said, "Yeah." So we did. I thought it was pretty damn good.
It was awesome. I'll be honest with you. I watched it again this afternoon, and it's pretty darn good, big guy. But it doesn't matter what field you're in, Mark, whether it's working at a psych hospital, whether it's, you know, professional wrestler, whatever, there's a big importance to having your higher up say, "Hey, you know what? Good job today." You know, that stuff doesn't happen enough. And that's good to hear that Vince did that for you guys, 'cause it was a hell of a match.
Yeah. And we were up for top match of the year in the Slammy Awards that year.
I didn't forget that I'm talking to a Slammy winner right now. I did not forget. It doesn't matter if it's the smelliest or not. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Did you get to take a Slammy home?
No.
They don't give you one to take home? They should. That's ridiculous.
I know, man.
That's something to tell the grandkids.
Hunter's probably got some.
He's probably got a couple of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's probably got them.
Rumor has it he's got the hookup, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good spot up there, you know.
Got a pretty hot wife too.
Yeah, how about he doesn't know where I live? Yes, he does. That's right.
Yeah, I love Steph. We had a good time with them at Dallas, and we took a picture with Stephanie. And about the time we were going to take the picture, of course, Hunter and his humor said something about Tex, and I just lost it. So the picture's me hugging Steph, and Tex is there, and we're laughing our ass off. But Hunter, man, he's hilarious. He's a funny kid. He's a funny cat.
He seems like he would be. Yeah. Stephanie, she looks like from the outside, obviously, looking in, you know, us wrestling fans, we look at pictures and get on the web and everything. She looks like she'd be one heck of like a sweet mom, you know?
Oh yeah.
So she just looks like she'd be just a great mom and a great lady.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart, and who I haven't seen and hugged in years when we were going out for Taker's thing. And, right. Got to see Brenda or Mrs. McMahon.
Oh, I got to see. Wow.
And give her a hug, and she asked how we were doing. So it was pretty cool seeing her again.
Is it true that that when you're in there and you go away, anytime you're back, you are treated like family because you've been there?
Yeah. It's and you know, when I went back in 06 and 07 for a little while, how that all started was I went to a TV and Steph goes, "You looking for a job?" Because she was just getting into it then, you know. Yeah. Her and Hunter, I think, had just got married. So I said, yeah. So that's how I went back for a little while there. But it was a rough time because I had broke my neck. I had lost my son, youngest son. So I wasn't ready. But
developmental, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deep South?
No, I went back for events in 96 and no, I mean 06 and 07.
Right. Oh, okay.
For just a short spell up there.
Okay. Huh. So you left in 98 though originally, right? Because of the neck injury?
Yeah, and then I got paid for the year of 99.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so then I went through all that and lost my son in 2003, Jordan. And then I went back in 06. I wasn't physically and mentally prepared.
Understandable. And with a job like that, you probably have to be, you know,
yeah, being
for your own safety and everything.
Yeah, being a single parent, having that responsibility, and then losing a son, and it was rough, but made it through it.
I'm sorry to hear that. So I asked a couple people on a couple different social media platforms on if they could ask Henry Godwin something, what the heck would they ask him? And a good buddy of mine, he's a school teacher. He's a kindergarten school teacher, and he actually taught my son. And his first day of school, I'm wearing a wrestling t-shirt because that's just who the heck I am. I walked in and we became like instant awesome friends. Like, I don't even think we talked about school, Mark. And right here's my like 5-year-old son getting ready to go to school. But of course I had to reach out to him because he's a big fan, and him and his brother want to know what was in the slot bucket.
It was usually the same stuff. I would always make it up because we had catering at TVs and stuff. So always we'd get TV, hang out, eat, and then I'd make my slop after we got done eating. Just let it set, you know, cure a little bit. Usually it was like lettuce, bread, some ranch, sometimes pasta. The salad was good. DiBiase got the ranch and the salad. He got three times.
Was there ever any backlash over that?
No. Nah,
everybody was always pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I thought you were going to ask me what was in the slop when Sonny got it.
Oh, don't worry. That's next, buddy. I think I was 10 years old. I swear to the heavens above, man, I remember that happening. So that was actually going to be next. But since you brought it up, feel free. What was in the Sonny slop bucket?
Sean Waltman? Gosh. Well, a lot of DNA in that thing. it was regular day. We got to TV. Black Jack Lanza comes up, says, "Hey, you're going to slop Sonny tonight." I was like, "Oh, hell yeah. It's going to be good." Because she's been hard to work with before. And you can ask anybody. But anyway, so I made my slop, regular slop, about half full. And we went to the locker room, was getting our stuff on. And I said, "Sonny's getting slop tonight. Nobody mess with this." And I set it down and walked out. So it was half full. When I come back, it was about that far from the top. So I found out that some of the boys had to use the bathroom, couldn't make it in. So, and that the guys that were dipping were using it as a spittoon. So X-Pac and Razor were the main two in the recipe for that. But, she got it that night, filled her little cowboy boots full of slop.
I know that you do meet and greets and such, and, dude, hopefully sometime I get to meet you, but I promise you I will not be wearing my cowboy boots, just so you know, just in case. I'm going to keep mine over here on the side.
Yeah.
So, why is it that anytime there's like a story that has to do with something with Sonny or some sort of rib from somebody else, it seems like Sean Waltman is like, can he shit on cue or something? I don't understand how every story he's like a serial shitter.
Yeah. We had another one of those stories with Sonny in Germany that I told few months ago on a podcast. Would you like to hear it?
If you got the time, sir.
Hell yeah. This is a good one. We were doing the Germany tour over there. Skip and Zip, Dr. Tom, they were tagged, and she was managing them. Well, we had our own caterers over there. So when we would get to the building, we would eat. They'd have us food, and then we would stay there and get ready and have the show. And they said, but pick out what you want to take back to the hotel for that night. And it was always like steak, chicken, spaghetti, some kind of pasta, salad. But they give you these little foil pans, just little ones.
Right.
Like a 3x6, just enough to fit some good food in there for you later tonight. So what you do is you get your little pan and you get the lid and you write your name on it and you tell them what you want. Well, Razor and Kid got her foil and took the lid off, and somehow there was a turd in the bottom of it.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
I have no idea. Covered back up with her pasta and chicken breasts. So they put the tin on it. When she got back to the hotel and opened it, they said it hit her. She seen it and ran down the hall, went to Briscoe's room, and I think they sent her home the next day. So that's a good Germany story about Sonny.
I'm telling you, I know you said Razor and Sean, but something tells me on the inside, what was on the inside was probably Sean, because all you freaking hear about that guy.
It was Sean.
Yeah, of course it was Sean.
I'll go ahead and clarify.
I believe you. I think everybody listening in the 61 countries who listen to this are going to believe it's Sean too. That's funny. Oh my goodness. I don't know what it is about that guy.
He'll drop it the blink of an eye.
That's impressive. Honestly, he's more talented than I am, buddy. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So I asked that question from Corey, and there's actually a few others if you don't mind.
Yeah.
This is one I'm actually interested in, this one too. This came from a guy, Mark Kowalski. Jim Cornette tells a story of you driving Jake Roberts into the ghetto to pick up some stuff. Did you know this was where Jake was taking you, and how did you feel having to deal with this situation? You know what he's talking about?
Well, we never drove him down there, but he rode with us for a couple weeks when they brought him in, and they wanted him to be an agent, and he was working some too.
It was a player coach, basically.
Yeah. So he had to dress up. He had to wear the nice clothes. And they put him with us because they thought he might straighten up and behave, because we were always on time. And the first day was okay. And then after that, we were going to have him beat on his door. And he'd been doing the shit. I've been on the can all night. And it was ugly. And we were in Dallas. The last time we rode with him, he wanted – we flew out of Dallas. We were staying at the Holiday Inn at the airport. So Tex had rented the car, the Cadillac, and Jake said he checked out of his room. He goes, can I go to your room till checkout? And I said, yeah. He's in my room for a week. He has Tex's rental car for a week. And I got charged all this money. So I called the office and I said, I was pretty pissed. I said, we're going to beat Jake's ass when we get back to TV. And they fired him. So, and they reimbursed us for all the money.
Well, that's good. At least they did that.
But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. How about it? I mean, you got to share a locker room with somebody. How the heck could you do that? And, and then walk up to him. Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah. I don't know. Steven Anderson, please ask him what happened at Raw in Topeka, Kansas. There was a brawl at ringside with some fans that prompted Vince to come over the PA system and say, we are never coming back to this shithole. Do you know what that's? Do you know what that is?
Oh, who's in the ring with it?
I don't have that
I mean,
information. But
it seems like,
there was a
yes,
brawl at ringside.
I remember something, but the only one I remember is when we were in Chicago. That was a pretty good brawl. We were involved, and then our security was off-duty policemen and firefighters, and they didn't take no shit. Oh
You're
my God. Oh my God. We felt safe up there.
I believe
But yeah,
it.
I remember Vince saying that now, but I can't remember what happened, who got into it.
Okay. If there
But
was
I
a couple
remember.
guys in the ring, maybe Bradshaw might have been a part of it if there was a fight somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, that explains it. It was Bradshaw.
That's right.
I
Maybe front and center.
love Bradshaw. He's, yeah, I love Bradshaw.
Does JBL get a bad rap?
I don't think now. Smart dude, man.
Oh, brilliant dude.
Yeah.
I'd trade my
And just a
mind with
great
his.
guy. We had some good times with him. And matter of fact, me and Tex was talking about that last time we were together about we got snuck in their room one night and we got in this big brawl. And of course there was a little Jack involved. But we had that was just people. I mean, we were like big kids, man.
Yeah.
That's like the night we jumped Undertaker in Florida. But we talk about that in the BSK, the round table. I didn't know if
Yes.
have you seen it?
Absolutely, I did. I was going to bring that up to you. Yeah.
It's freaking hilarious. I watched it last month again, and I laugh more every time I see it.
I don't know how hard it is to be truthful, but something, I think there's something cool about the fact that there's these dudes, these brothers together that just sit around and play dominoes. I don't know. I've never played dominoes a day in my life, I'll be honest with you. But my mother loves dominoes. And the day after I watched Table for Three with you guys, I called her up and said, "You think you could teach me how to play dominoes?" So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm gonna
See,
find a
I
band of
just,
brothers and learn how to play this thing.
yeah. And I just learned being on the road with them, I'd forgot. And I was like, oh, hell, they pulled dominoes out the round table. I was like, I don't remember how to play. But hell, I did pretty good. It started coming back to me. They kept
Yeah.
messing with me, though.
Yeah, they did. I will say they did. Let's see. Arthur Sanchez. Thoughts on Southern Justice? I thought you looked badass.
That was going to be good. That was, we were real excited and the office was excited about it. Of course, I had a broken neck then.
Yeah.
So I come back and Vince had I think we called him Doc. He was a trainer, but he worked on me every night and it just kept getting worse. So after 7 weeks, I mean, we were supposed to get the belts in September from Billy Gunn and Road Dogg
Right.
in September, and Vince decided at the last minute that day that I should go home and get my neck checked, and if everything's okay, they'll put the belts on us again. But
Right.
it didn't work out. But Southern Justice was going to be a lot of fun. We had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So you had a
Miss it.
fusion, right?
Yeah, I had a C6, C7 fusion.
Yeah. How's your pain
Me
now
and
with that?
Steve Stone Cold had the same surgery
Right. Yeah.
right about the same time.
So you. That's right, because the Owens thing. Yeah, that's right.
Owen,
Yeah, the Owens situation. How's your pain now?
it's good. Yes, it's not bad. Just getting old, stiff. I wrestled three times last year in Pennsylvania, though.
You know what? I was I actually, like I said, I'm trying to do a little bit of homework on my people that I talked to, and was it Elizabeth, Pennsylvania?
IWC. Yeah,
Yeah,
IWC.
if speak of Pennsylvania, so I'm at Penn State University, okay? 5 minutes away, State College, Pennsylvania. Do you have any memories, or do you ever work in State College?
Yeah, that building.
Bryce Jordan Center.
Yeah, the little one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time we worked there, you never guess who we worked. Owen Hart and British Bulldog.
Okay.
This little place was packed. And, of course, they were heels, you know. Me and Tex had just started and were the big country boy baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat them that night, but it was a non-title match.
Of course it was.
People went crazy. They loved it. So after that, man, it just little things, you know, boost you to want to do more and do better.
Yeah.
And that night when I seen the reaction, and like the night we won the belts in the garden.
Yeah.
That's probably the best. That and the hog pit match are two good memories.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, Madison Square Garden, how could it not be, you know?
yeah.
I don't really know if people understand how much of a wrestling state Pennsylvania is. We got Hershey, we got Philly, we got Pittsburgh, we got heck, Allentown and Bethlehem were TV tapings all the time back in the day for the Fed.
Oh yeah.
Like you always hear about the Carolinas because of the South, right? But Pennsylvania's right there with them. And
oh yeah,
there's a lot of people travel to State College. They don't do Raw here anymore. Maybe because Bryce Jordan Center is too small nowadays. I have no idea. But man, it was hopping back in the day, brother.
Oh yeah,
I saw you there. What's that?
Elizabeth? Was it Elizabeth or Elizabethan, Pennsylvania? We used to do TV at.
I think you guys. I know they used to do TV in Allentown and Bethlehem. I know that.
Bethlehem. It was Bethlehem.
Right.
I did one of my first vignettes there. Vince wanted me to make a slop and go out and go somewhere. And they had a little camera on me. And he wanted me to drink from the slop bucket. So I seen it last year. I'll have to try to find it again, but it's one of my little vignettes I did. I was drinking the slop and it was running down.
Hopefully you're the individual who made the slop that particular day.
I made that slop.
I wouldn't trust anybody
my bucket
else.
Was washed out good.
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking of so the South and the Carolinas, people think that is like the hotbed for pro wrestling, which it very well could be. And being a Southerner yourself, right, from Virginia, West Virginia and such.
West Virginia.
West Virginia, yes. I've always personally had this question, and I think it's true. Why do Southerners throw the best right hands in the business? I've never asked anybody, but I want to ask you. I feel like Southern wrestlers throw the best right hands. Do you know why that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, a lot of them were country boys and farm boys. I think them haymakers, man. I think baling that hay, throwing them bales of hay, jacks somebody's jaw.
There's a clip. If you, I don't know if you ever go back and watch clips and stuff or whatever, but what sparked this thought in me, and I've always wanted to ask somebody, so thank you very much. There's a clip, I think it's in 86 in Memphis. It's Dutch Mantell and Jerry Lawler versus superstar Bill Dundee and my boy Buddy Landell. And Jerry Lawler has Landell in a corner and he throws like 30 punches in like 28 seconds or something, which is that seems like a lot. How you wouldn't get tired, I have no idea. But the right hands that Lawler's just throwing and the way that Landell's selling with his hair left and right, it made me think that, you know, every Southern style wrestler I've ever seen always throws an excellent right hand.
Yeah. Tommy Rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wildfire, he throws some right hands.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of real Southern boys that Bobby Eaton.
Oh, I yeah.
Love Bobby.
Oh, how smooth was he? For real.
Oh, he was fun. Matter of fact, in 2009, up here in Monroe County, 5 minutes from my house, at the high school, I did a show to raise money for the school. Well, Bobby come up and we worked. And of course, he wasn't feeling real good then. You know, he was having a little trouble, but it was fun. He's another one like George South, man. They could work with a broomstick, you know?
Right. Yeah. Huh. That's actually pretty cool. I love it. You always like, you can search and search on the web about people talking about Bobby Eaton, but I've never in my life heard one bad thing about the guy. He's just a sweetheart of a dude.
Yeah. He was, I'll tell you a quick story about Bobby.
I would love it.
Me and Tex used to be into the herbal pretty good, you know? And so we were in Knoxville and we were staying at this Days Inn or Comfort Inn. It's where they stayed all the time. So there was a Waffle House beside it. So of course that's where Arn and Bobby want to stay. So we walk over to the Waffle House and walk back. Well, Bobby come to mine in Tex's room, and Tex was going to roll one, and there was no papers. So we couldn't go back to the store. So Tex gets the Bible.
No way!
There's a in the Bible is just a plain sheet of paper, nothing on it. Tex tears it, rolls it, and Bobby flips out and runs out of the room. Swear to God, if you ever talk to Phineas, ask him. That's one of his favorite stories about
Bobby. Oh, I need to get Dennis on here at some point, I'm telling you. And, you know, I'm not going to ask anything else.
Yeah, we need to do it again and have both of us on.
I would love to.
You can have both of us back on. That'd be good.
Story time with the Godwins. That's the name of the new show. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Get your popcorn.
Oh, my
God. Hold on to your booty.
Only if I can be an honorary Godwin, because I brought out this stuff today. Only if I can be an honorary
Godwin.
Yeah,
you are.
I appreciate it.
You look like a young Henry. You look like a young, good looking Henry.
Speaking of good looking, Mr. Have to Wear a Mask Because He's Shanghai Pierce. So this handsome devil, folks, I mean, if you don't see the video, if you just hear the audio, this man right here, Mr. Mark Cannonbury, was once told he's way too damn handsome. That's why he had to put a mask on. Tell that story for me, if you don't mind.
Well, when when Dusty got us together finally and we picked our gear out, I guess it was about 4 or 5 weeks before we started. Dusty goes, I want you to wear a mask. And he said, I want you to wear a mask. And he never really said till we started. And he always said, well, you got a damn baby face, and Tex, he's ugly enough. So that's my Dusty story.
That's awesome.
And then of course you heard in the Table for Three what my nickname was. HBL.
That's right.
Billy Lumber.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Man, I need a freaking cool nickname. This sucks. I'm the host of this show. I need a cool nickname. I need you to come up with something and send it to me. How about that?
All right, we'll try it.
Let's work on something.
We'll just use T.O. for right now.
T.O. will work. It's official. It'll work. So, a couple quick questions, okay? Just real quick.
All right.
Best wheel man in the business. Who is the best driver?
Taker was good.
Yeah?
I was good. Matter of fact, I got into a little smash derby going about 70 with Piper.
With Piper?
Yeah.
Oh, man. How did that go?
Yeah. He bumped us from the back. I'm like, what the fuck? So he got up beside us, and I dinged his fender, and then that was it.
Were they
Nothing
rental?
Was ever said.
Were they rental cars or personal cars?
Rental cars.
Of course they were. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tex always liked that story. We played bumper cars with Piper going down the interstate. I mean, it was like 10 minutes after we left TV. All of a sudden, bam, going down the interstate.
Piper, a good dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like a genuine individual. Yeah.
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 I'll tell you a story real quick about when Warrior come back and we were up there.
Okay.
And Warrior always picked places to hide, and he wanted to dress by himself.
Right.
Man, he'd be in some freaky places like
boiler rooms and such.
Just little control rooms. But he'd go to the other end away from everybody and find a place. So me and Tex found where he was dressing. So we started just showing up and dressing with him. So we did that, and Taker thought it was fucking great. So our little rib for like 2 or 3 days, when Warrior would come to TV and he'd go find a place, Taker would say, y'all go find where he's at and dress with him. So Taker was like, agging his shit
on. Right. Yeah. Who's going to get the heat for that? You guys, not Taker, you know? No. Yeah.
He's like, go find him. See where he's at. Dress with him.
Did he ever get annoyed?
Not really. I mean, he didn't say much, but we dressed with him 2 or 3 nights. You know?
You got two big country boys and a warrior in a closet somewhere. I don't know how they're.
Yeah, yeah. Go see if somebody squeal like a pig.
That's right. The best ribber in the business.
Owen.
By far?
Yeah. Number two would be Davey.
Davey?
Them two together, brutal.
All I hear, as a fan, you know, mostly I've heard, obviously, Owen and Mr. Fuji. I've never heard anything about Davey ribs.
Oh, God, yeah, Davey. He liked doing that shit, too. Especially when him and Owen got together.
Right, oh, yeah.
Like, before 9/11, we'd be flying there. You know, it'd be a bunch, shitload of us on a plane. And Davey and Owen would go and get on the speaker and talk to people on the plane. This is your so-and-so.
This is your captain speaking.
Yeah, can you imagine doing that now?
No, Mike, you'd be carted out of there faster than anything, buddy.
He'd be tased.
here's a tough one. Probably going to be tough. I don't want it to get you any heat. Who's the toughest man in the BSK?
Oh, God.
Mark
Taker would be scary.
Mark Canterbury.
Taker would be scary. And Papa.
I can see Taker being scary. He's a big dude.
Yeah. Long arms.
Yeah.
Big mitts.
He's got the reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But all you guys are just, like, you know, if you think of, say, the Clickers, so you got Sean, Kevin. You had Scott and Sean and then Sean or whatever. Like, you guys were all hosses, man.
Yeah, we were a 300-plus club.
Yeah, how about
Hell, it? Savio was the smallest, and he was 280.
Right? I always thought Savio was a big dude, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was about 280, 290 back then.
Huh.
Taker was 3-plus. I was 3-plus.
Right. Yeah.
Godfather. Yoko was 6.
Was the 6 legitimate?
It was over 6 at the end.
When we went
to England, we flew into the what's the big airport there?
I never been, buddy.
I can't think of it, but they had cargo scales there. He was 640.
No way.
Yeah.
That's big. 640.
He was, what a sweetheart of a guy he was.
Yeah.
One of my best friends that I was real close with up there. Because I drove him a lot before techs come up. I would drive because he would drive, you know. And usually it was me, him, and Tex, or Rakishi was in there.
Right.
But, yeah, Yoko was a sweetheart. We used to go, if we were out that way, we would go to his house to spend the weekend. And my kids, my wife, or Shane and my wife, she's, that's how I learned how to make potato salad, the way they made it out there.
Oh, yeah?
So we were eating Samoan food, turkey tail and rice and potato salad, and man, it was a good time out there. And the whole family was cool.
You just reminded me that I forgot to eat dinner tonight, so thanks a lot. I'm kind of starving now after hearing that.
About time to eat. Yeah.
About time. We're gonna be going home here soon, but where can we get a Godwin shirt? Because I'll tell you what, your Godwin Farm shirt.
This is a new one.
Where are you getting those at? How can we tell?
An artist. My buddy has an artist friend in Tennessee, and he made these. And Collar and Elbow did the shirts.
Oh, okay, yeah. I like
Al Snow and Rod,
right.
Rodney.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Everybody, Collar and Elbow. I put out a post, I think it was like 3 or 4 days ago, after I asked you to be on originally. Dude, I was just like watching you throw some freaking hands at Bret Hart. What's your thoughts on Bret?
Oh, my God. I just watched that too. Last month, I watched that.
Dude, you get him down from the – you're in the corner. You take him down, and you're just throwing hands, man. It's one of my favorite clips. Just
– yeah.
All the timing in general and just – awesome clip. What's your thoughts on the Hitman?
I love Bret. Always did. Got some great stories about him and always had a good time. Loved that match with him. We actually wrestled 2 weeks in a row on that little thing we had.
Right.
But he laid it in, and that's the way I liked it. They always called his punches the rubber mallets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved working with Bret, and he'd lay it in, I'd lay it in, but that's the way I was taught, you know. And
right.
The guy that sent the stuff from New York when we were up there, the picture of us and his son that I signed tonight, getting ready to send back to him. I forgot where I was going with that. Well, anyway. What was we talking about?
Bret Hart and then the pictures from the guy.
Oh, yeah. Bret Hart. People complained about working with Bret, but I loved it. I mean, it's just, he was good.
And
Owen was fun, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What would people complain about with working with Bret, because of seriousness, because like he genuinely believed some of his stuff,
some of that, and just, you know, he took care of business. When it was time to get in the ring, it was on, and
yeah.
He took it serious.
Every young kid, boy or girl, has like their guy growing up, right? Guy or gal, I guess I should say now. Bret was my guy, and I saw that match, and obviously you were in there, and I'm like, well, holy smokes, let's check this one out. Because at the time that happened, Mark, I think I was like 9 or 10, so I had to replay it, you know, for memory. And son of a gun, was that not an awesome freaking match? Awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Thoughts on Tony Anthony?
White boy.
Dirty white boy.
Just talked to him 2 weeks ago. He called me 2 weeks ago.
How's he doing? Good?
He's doing good.
Good. Happy to hear.
He was at WrestleCade.
Yeah.
We were supposed to go to Winston-Salem for WrestleCade. Our promoter backed out. A couple of them did. So some of the guys did get to go, but Tony went. He called me, goes, "Hell, I thought you boys were supposed to be there." Old Tennessee voice. I said, "Well, our promoter backed out, so
yeah."
But hopefully next year.
I've never been to one of those shows being up here in Pennsylvania.
Every year, a lot of people come from up your way.
Shane
Douglas, Shane's there a lot.
Yep. A whole slew of people from up here. And every year I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. And then it's like, I'm a dad. I got responsibility. Sometimes things with the kids come up and I have to take care of that first, you know? So, but I'm going to get there.
It's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
You'd like it.
I believe it wholeheartedly. Did you ever go to the rest of
We're already booked for our guy called today. We're booked at WrestleCon already at WrestleMania.
Are you?
Yeah. So we'll be out there. I got some stuff I'm trying to get signed. I got my Henry Godwin boots that Hunter was supposed to sign in Dallas, but we were in Undertaker's suite, so we didn't get to go down and hang out with everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take them, and there's we got a BSK shirt that I've signed and Texas signed, and Godfather's already signed it. So I'll take it out there, and hopefully Savio will be there, and I get the rest of the boys to sign it, and I'm going to put it up.
How cool is that? That's pretty awesome. What happened to your Levi Garrett hat? Do you still have that? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes. I don't know if I still have it. I may give it away, to be honest.
Really?
I'd love to have that hat.
I believe it. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. But lid.
I did find today a couple old WWF hats that I had out in a box.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I'll have to bring them in and clean them up. Things. People want them things.
Yeah, I know. I just asked about a blue. Levi Garrett hat. Trust me, we want some.
it's green color, and it's pinstripe, and it says it has the WWF logo on it.
Huh.
Just found it. So, yeah, I got some pretty cool stuff.
Pretty awesome memory. Who made your overalls? What was the company that made those?
Oshbegosh.
Oshbegosh?
$42 at Oshbegosh.
42 bones.
I used to get them for me in Texas in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Living there. I'd go, he'd say, I'd pick me up some overalls. So I'd go to Oshkosh and get them.
I just went to Pigeon Forge for the first time in August. Went on a vacation down there. Awesome freaking area. Awesome area.
Yeah. that's where Shane's at, my son Shane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to be going down there every year. Me and my daughter, she loved it so much. So
you should let me know when you go.
I most certainly will. Absolutely.
Hook up.
Dude, let's right here.
There you go.
Right here. I'm saving the very last for the end of the show.
There you go.
I asked you about State College, Pennsylvania, Mark, and you remembered you and Davey and Owen there, right? What is it about – it's the most amazing thing in the world from a fan. What is it about wrestlers that you can pinpoint and remember certain towns and certain events when you're on the road so much, when you're going to other countries and wrestling? How do you remember – yes, this was in Houston, Texas. This was in St. Cloud, Minnesota. How do you guys do that? I don't know what I had for breakfast yesterday.
I can't anymore. It all runs together. But certain stuff, you know, of course, sticks out, like just little things. The Hog Pit match, you know, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Hershey Park.
I was there Sunday, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool place.
It is.
And, you know, the guard when we won the belts, and then the curtain call.
Yeah.
And, a lot. Some buildings stick out. Anaheim.
Right.
Always had good shows in Anaheim. But Canada was always fun for us. I got a lot of Canada stories.
You know what? Surprisingly, me too. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if they're the same.
No, I don't think they are, buddy. I'm telling you. I didn't have a Bone Street crew, trust me. But
hey, let me tell you this real quick.
Go for
it. I'm going to a concert Saturday in Winchester, Virginia. And he's a new guy starting out. He's in Nashville. His name is Brian Martin.
Okay.
But he signed some stuff for me. But you need to check him out. Listen to him.
Do it right now. Brian Martin.
Brian Martin.
Brian Martin. Got you right here, big guy. Already got it. Done.
Yeah. We become friends with him, so I'm going to be with him Saturday. And he just signed, I don't know if you know, Colt Ford.
Yeah. He's a big dude.
He signed with Colt Ford in Nashville at Average Joe's Entertainment. So we got an invite to come down to the studio at Nashville. So that's going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. Who would have thought you were a country music fan?
Oh, man. Southern rock, country music, 70s rock.
Well, let me tell you something, because you brought up a little bit of Led Zeppelin earlier at the beginning of the show. Have you ever heard of Greta Van Fleet?
Yes, I have. They sound just like them.
Holy smokes. I'm a little bit ashamed. I just discovered them about 2-3 months ago. Holy smokes, man.
I found them 2 years ago. My tattoo artist pulled them up when he was doing a tattoo about 2-3 years ago. They're pretty damn good.
I'm telling you.
They'll fool you.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable talent those kids are.
Hey, I was in Kiss Army at 12 years old, so.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What is it about wrestlers and music?
God, I don't know, but it does seem to go hand in hand. I guess because similar lifestyles.
Yes, probably. Is it the road, though? Being on the road so much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And depending on your brothers, the people that you're on the road with, you know, you're with them as much more than you are your family sometimes. So,
oh, yeah.
That's why I was fortunate to be with in the era I was in and the people I was around and a good opportunity and just to learn to be. Just the respect thing, man, really goes a long way with me. And I respect people and I expect it back. I probably shouldn't be that way, but.
Well, I disagree with that because at an early age, what are we all taught? I'm trying to teach a 5-year-old right now, Mark. Treat people the way you want to be treated. It's elementary, right?
Yeah.
The fundamentals to life are actually really simple. Just respect and treat people the way you want to be treated. It's a real thing.
But the politicians are and the media distort it all. So
are you sure?
That's a whole other episode, brother.
Don't make me
go Second Amendment right here.
Hey, buddy. Yes, I won't say anything right now, but something tells me you and I might have similar views. I have no idea.
I would say me and you will probably go hunt someday together.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. Let me tell you something. I don't know. Yes, I freaking hope so. I'll do anything I can to hunt with you. I know you're an outdoorsman, and I really love that and appreciate that. You told me a few stories today, but you're an outdoorsman, so I'm going to tell you a story today. Is that cool? Real quick?
Cool, man.
Pennsylvania rifle season. I'm a big archery guy. I think slinging an arrow is like poetry in motion, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get to go out too much for archery this year, so I had to rely on archery season. First day of Pennsylvania rifle season. I'm in the woods for 45 minutes. Here comes the doe. Here comes a buck. Bang, I smoke him, right? Drops him. He folds up like an accordion. He gets up and he takes off again. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? I just freaking peppered you. So he goes, and I wait, just like we're all taught to do. He goes about 200 yards after I drilled him like that. And when I finally get to his spot where he dropped, somebody stole my buck this year. There's a gut pile right there.
I've heard that happening. It's happened around here before.
Dude, I'm telling you, somebody would have got slop dropped right then and there, and I wouldn't have felt bad about it.
Things would have got sloppy.
But you know what, though? With the way this economy and stuff is, that stuff's probably going to happen more. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, I've never had somebody steal my deer before. So if you want to go hunting with me, let's freaking hunt. I'll do anything I can.
We'll do it. You can come down here if you want.
Hey, West Virginia?
I killed an 8-point this year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I killed an 8-point this year.
You're going to have to send
me
the picture.
I'm getting a European done on it.
Nice. Send me the picture of it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's awesome. Outside of obviously wrestling related stuff, outside of hunting, outside of fishing, which I'm assuming that you do, what's your favorite hobby outside of those things? Do you have one?
I like the farming. I like fooling with the hogs and pigs.
Do you have any now?
No, I got rid of them a few months ago. I've had them for 8 years.
Have you
so
really?
So I wanted to take a winter off. Yeah, I wanted to take a winter off with the feed so high and the gas high. So
right.
Hopefully it'll go back down. But I'm going to start back in the spring, get some young ones again. And we got a razor. We got a group called the Appalachian Ridge Runners, and we love to ride and raise hell on them.
That sounds fun, dude. That sounds so much fun. I'm in the sticks of Central PA. I love exactly what you're talking about. But I do go to West Virginia often because that's actually my favorite Cabela's in Wheeling. And
Wheeling, yeah.
Yeah, so dude, next time I'm in West Virginia, I'm going to say hi to you.
Come on down.
Let's do it. I'll let you meet my beautiful little girl. She's a sweetheart.
All right. Sounds good.
But, Mark, I'm not going to take up much more of your time, my man. I greatly appreciate you coming on. This was as a dude who openly admitted to the world how much you and your profession and all the boys helped me as an individual and as a man, I greatly appreciate you coming on and let me talk to you in person.
Yeah, man. I got a couple of things I want to show you real quick.
Absolutely. Go for it.
In 96, right before Texas come up, Taker had that funny car that sponsored him. And so here it is. That's the one he gave me.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
And then a fan sent me that one.
Oh, so cool.
And then, of course, there's Henry and Phineas.
How cool is it to have fans, man? Is that neat?
It's awesome.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah. I even found one of these. These are rare. You don't see these anymore.
Is that a sticker?
That's a WWF sticker.
I love
peel
that.
Off.
Yeah. I love that old logo, by the way.
Yeah, I got some cool pictures. Fans sent me this. This is a.
Oh, yeah.
There's a hog fan match.
Yes. Right there in the roast before he comes out of it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Good times.
I'm glad you got to live and experience that. That's freaking awesome. And you know what? You're a mountain of a man. You're a big dude, but you're soft spoken. And the amount of respect I have for you after doing this for me, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Keep in touch.
I'll keep in touch with you. I promise. Next time, next time
we'll set up hunt next year.
Hey, I'm already there. Let me tell you.
All right,
Mark. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya. Oh, we back, baby. The return of the franchise. The internationally known show with an attitude that don't compromise. We've always been controversial because that's what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, T.U. on the TC coming at you.